1290 a.m. And we want to, of course, keep Pastor Pamela Carter in prayer on today concerning her body, as well as, you know, anyone else who is, as the saints of old would say, under the weather or feeling infirm. But, you know, we speak healing to their body, and that they line up and also be obedient to what needs to be done concerning taking care of their bodies and your bodies, as well as our bodies, all of us taking care and doing what is necessary. We know that time has changed, the season has changed, and it's time for us to change with what needs to take place concerning our health, not just on an everyday basis as far as eating right, doing right, but, you know, when the seasons change, things change as well, and we shift as well. On today, we are going to look at a passage that we've heard preached. Those who have been to church, you know, all their life or some of their life, you've heard this preached and you've heard this taught, and everyone has their own opinion and idea of how things are to take place when you come to a point in your life where you have to make a decision, where you have to decide, what do I do? And on today, Pastor Pamela Carter had to make a decision, and God's blessings be upon her, and thank her for the privilege and the time and the honor to be able to continue to declare woman to woman and encourage the women, as well as the mankind overall. But we're going to go to Esther 1. And I know this, I know this one. This is, you know, the queen wouldn't do this, and so we got another one, and, you know, she saved and delivered all the people. But there are some significant things within that book that sometimes we overlook, we gloss over, and, you know, we get to the part where we want to shout because, you know, everybody's been saved. But then there's a point where we have to look at the decisions we have to make in our life. And God takes care of us in the midst of all that, but we have to make the choice. He tells us, choose ye this day whom you will serve. And he tells us, you know what, either you're going to choose life or you're going to choose death. And then he gives us the answer. So isn't that like God to take care of us, give us the quiz, give us the, you know, the test, and then give us the answer, but allow us to make the choice. And when you look at Esther, the book of Esther in the first book, it gives you, sets a backdrop of what's going on. Of course, there's party, there's jubilation, there is a feast taking place, and different things are going on. In verse 5. It talks about, and when the days were expired, the king made a feast unto all the people that were present in the palace, both unto great and small, 7 days in the court of the garden of the king's palace. Look, they celebrated a long time. And then if you skip on down to verse 8, and the drinking was according to the law. None did compel, for so the king had appointed to all the officers of his house that they should do according to every man's pleasure. That's a key sign right there. Things are getting ready to turn. There's a shifting taking place, a difference in what is supposed to take place as far as what, who you are supposed to be pleasing and what is supposed to take place. And it sets a backdrop for what is to happen. Verse 9, also Vashti the queen made a feast for the women in the royal house, which belongeth to the king. And then we go on down to verse 13. Let's start at verse 11. And verse 10 talks about the individuals that the king had around him. And verse 11, he said for them to bring Vashti the queen before the king with the crown royal. To show the people and the princes her beauty, for she was fair to look on. Of course, he was proud of what he had. He was proud of this woman, proud of this queen. But you know what? You just heard a minute ago they had been drinking. They had been in a festive mode, and what's getting ready to take place sometimes comes out of a festive mode. Our actions, the decisions, the things that we decide to do are based upon some of the circumstances we are in. And then we're going to read on to verse 12. But the queen Vashti refused to come at the king's commandment by his chamberlains. Therefore was the king very wroth, and his anger burned in him. Then the king said to the wise men, which knew the times, for so was the king's manner toward all that knew law and judgment. And I'm going to skip on down to 15. In verse 14, you see the individuals he had around him. Verse 15 says, what shall we do unto the queen Vashti according to the law? because she had not performed the commandment of the king by the chamberlain. She didn't come when I told her to come. She didn't obey me. She chose not to obey. But then as you read on further down, it wasn't just him making the decision. He made the final decree, but he sought other individuals to help him make the decision. And so one of the individuals answered the king and the princes in verse 16 and said, Vashti, the queen, hath not done wrong to the king only, but also to all the princes and all the people that are in the provinces of the king. She just didn't, you know, embarrass you. She embarrassed us, God. She embarrassed us, king, and also our God, obviously. And it makes me wonder, you know, Vashti gets such a hard, as they say, hard rap sometime concerning her decision and what she did. But, you know, just think when he would have come from under the crown royal, when he would have come from under the intoxication that he had taken in, how would he have felt if she had been paraded around? So she was basing her decision. Now, this is Samhita, what God has placed within my heart. And you may have your own version. And of course, she disobeyed the command for her to come. But she made the choice to say, no, I'm not coming because I know all y'all jokers sitting around there and something's going to take place and it's not going to be good. I know you before the crown royal and I know you after the crown royal. Well, that just sets the backdrop also for Esther. For when she comes forth and the decision that she has to make concerning not only her life, but also the life of her people. And sometimes we as individuals, we have to make a choice. We have to make a decision concerning not just our life, but the life of generations within us and generations around us. We sometimes forget that it's not just about, we say, oh, it's not about you. It's not about you. There comes a point where also it's not about you when it comes to those you're connected with, those who are in your life, those who God has placed upon you to continue in your life and to see you so that you help them make a choice as well. And we have an interview by a young lady. She had to make a choice as well. We talked about Vashti, we talked about Esther, and we know she made a choice. You know what? I'm going to go ahead. At first, she didn't want to because she knew, hey, you can't just go in there. But you know what, God? Of course, when you want to obey God, you want to do his will, you will move when the Spirit of God says to move, and he will usher people into your life. Remember her cousin, he was ushered into her life. And to remind her, sometimes you have to tell people, even when they don't want to hear it, even when you're like, oh, I know what they're going to say. I know how they're going to act if I tell them this. But you know what? Lives are at stake because of the decisions that we make, because of the things that we do, because of the things that we say. And that's why God reminds us life and death are in the power of the tongue. And she used her tongue as well as, of course, she prayed. She sought God and she had the counsel. But ultimately, she had to make the decision to tell the king what thus saith. And she did that. And we thank God that we see these examples in the Bible to help us also not just make the right decision in us being the individuals who have to take action, but also help us who have to tell someone they're going to have to do this. They have the choice to make, but this is what God says. And I'm going to read a portion. I mean, not a read. I'm going to play a portion of this interview. And if you want to hear the whole interview, you can go online to the website missiongospeltrain.org after the program on today. But this is about a young lady who had to make a choice in her life. And welcome to the Mission Gospel Train right here on News Talk 1290 AM. On today, we have an author, someone who has been through the fire. You'll hear that a little bit more during the interview. But a woman of God who can tell not just from someone else's life, but from her own life, what it is to go through the fire. I want to say hello and welcome to Apostle Audra Hurd. How are you doing, ma'am?
I'm great. How are you doing this evening?
Amen. Blessed and highly favored. And I thank you for your time out of, a lot of people say out of your busy schedule, but I say out of your life, because a lot of individuals don't have to stop and do something for someone or with someone else. So it is truly appreciated from myself as well as the gospel conductor, Pastor Tyson.
Amen.
Now, with this Through the Fire, you are an author. You have written this book, and it's not just something that just fell out of the sky. It has come out of your heart, come out of your tears, come out of your praise. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to set a little backdrop. 1998,
mm-hmm.
a house with three people inside,
yeah.
and only one person comes out. And I'll let you continue.
Wow, that was powerful. My God. Like you said, it was 1998. And, you know, the usual day, my family went to church that day, came home that evening, and it was something a little off, but, you know, we just kind of passed it off as it's, you know, just kind of hot outside, things like that. And lived in a home with my grandmother and my son at that time. And my son was just a little small baby, 20 months old, wasn't quite yet two, able to walk, trying to talk, you know, all that kind of great stuff. Mm-hmm. And my grandmother, she was about 83 years old. And she was a double amputee to kind of help set the stage mm-hmm. as to why things transpired the way that they did. And so she was a double amputee, and she generally slept on the couch in our living room. And so me and my son would sleep in the upstairs bedroom. And so that night, my grandmother put her to bed, you know, and then I went upstairs, changed the baby's pamper, you know, just laid across the bed in my underclothes because it was just so hot in the house.
Mm-hmm.
And so I probably fell asleep for all of about maybe 30 minutes, 45 minutes. I really don't even give it that long. But I remember the time of the clock when I came down the stairs, and the time on the clock read 12:20.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard my grandmother calling me in my sleep, and she said, she's calling my name, and I come downstairs, and there's a fire at the bottom of our steps. Now, you know, my first instinct was, get us out the house, worry about the fire later.
Mm-hmm.
My grandmother was so insistent to put the fire out. And so I called 911, you know, to let them know there was a fire. And after I got 911 on the phone, my grandma's in the background screaming at me, you know, put the fire out, put it out, put it out.
Mm-hmm.
So listening to her, I went and got water and mm-hmm. began trying to put the fire out. But the more water I put on it, the more it did what? Spread. And so the fire spread, shot straight up the house. And so now by this time, I've inhaled smoke. You know, I'm panting. I'm going back and forth. And just, you know, couldn't put it out.
Mm-hmm.
And so in a panic, because you have to understand that the fire department was less than a mile from our house, if exactly a mile.
My
I don't
God.
Even give it a whole mile.
Mm-hmm.
And they were that close to our house. So I said, well, I've called the fire department. They should be here. You know, I'm going to go get help. You know, now, mind you, my son is still upstairs in the bedroom sleeping.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
My grandmother's there. She's yelling and screaming at me. And I lost anything that gave me a sane mind at that moment. I lost.
And you heard just a portion of that, but I'm going to give you a couple of nuggets out of it. She had to make a decision. She had to make a choice. And some people, we talked during the interview about how she decided to obey her grandmother, who kept telling her, put out the fire. Don't come and get me. You'll hear later. Don't, you know, just put it out. Because sometimes you think, you know what, just go ahead and do that. It'll be all right. Just go ahead and do that. It'll be all right. But in her deciding to obey those who have rule over, things transpired and things happened where she had no control over. And we thank God that, of course, she has come out. She's gone, as the book says, through the fire. If you want to hear more of that, you can, of course, go to the website. But that is, of course, to the women as well as to the men, but definitely to the women, about making a decision in your life that not only affects you, but affects others. Remember, Jesus Christ made a decision that not only affected himself, but also affected others. He could have, you know, said, you know what, I'm finished with this. They can do what they want. But you know what? Because of his decision, the God within him, the God that came down, but also the flesh that made the decision to stay. And that is where we are in life as well. What decision are we going to make in our life that not only affects us, but affects others as well?